Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul is teaching about spiritual gifts, and right in the middle of it, he reminds us, this is not an aside, this is the glue that holds the rest together. He reminds us that love is essential. 1 Corinthians 13, this is God's word. If I speak in human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions, and if I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, and does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. God tells us in this chapter that love is a non-negotiable. It is absolutely essential. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He started by saying, love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The great commandments, and then Jesus gives his followers a new commandment. You're to love one another. The Bible demands not only that I love my neighbor, not only that I love those who are my brothers and sisters in Christ, God commands that we love our enemies, that we love our enemies. And it's helpful to look at that if we're going to understand what love is, because that doesn't mean we feel warm, slushy feelings inside about our enemies. Every time we see them, we just think, oh, they're so adorable. It's not at all. Love has to do with my behavior and with my motivation. What are you doing and why are you doing it? That is what is involved in love. And it is essential. You can't compensate for a lack of love by doing other good things. Spiritual gifts are not a substitute. The Corinthians lacked no spiritual gift. They had all the gifts. Boy, if you wanted to see gifts on display, go to a Corinthian church meeting. It was all going on. And a lot of it was going on at once. That's what chapter 14 is going to deal with. Paul didn't write to him and say, those aren't real gifts. You haven't got the real thing. He writes to him and he says, the gifts don't make you spiritual. The gifts are a display of God's love for the body, and they're given for the purpose of building others up. It's not for the purpose of showing off. It's not so that I can preen and display, I have five gifts I want to show you this morning. That's not it. The purpose of the gifts is to bless the body and build up and strengthen the body for the work of ministry. But the fruit of the Spirit is the indication of the spiritual life. And this is the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians, we're told the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc. We'll look at 1 Corinthians 13. Those are descriptions of love. Love is characterized by joy, peace, perseverance, long-suffering. All those things are aspects of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, that is selfish, is not irritable, and does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Or as many translations would have it, love never fails. God's love is described this way. Put the word Jesus where it says love and see how it reads. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus is not boastful. Jesus is not arrogant. Read Philippians 2. Jesus is not rude, not selfish, not irritable. Doesn't mean incapable of anger. It means you're not always going around ready to explode because there's something down deep bothering you. Jesus doesn't keep a record of wrongs. He paid for our sin so that we could not only be forgiven, but God buries our sins in the deepest sea, and as Corrie ten Boom said, and puts up a sign that says no fishing. You and I need to realize God isn't looking for an opportunity to accuse us. He's not looking for an opportunity to punish us. If God wanted to do that, we'd all be toast. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. If God wanted to destroy you, the devil is the one who plants that seed. He's the one who said in the garden, don't believe what God said. He's just trying to keep you from becoming like him. The devil wants us to believe that God is against us. But God, who is rich in mercy, sent his Son to save all who believe, all who call upon him. So, if you look at these opening verses, you see that without that kind of love, I may be able to speak in human or angelic tongues. But if I don't have love, it's just noise. If I have the gift of prophecy, now that's really good. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, wow, that's wisdom. And all knowledge, word of knowledge, supernatural knowledge. And if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, then I am going to be welcome in any church because that's impressive. Imagine somebody who comes along who's able to just believe God and see the mountains move. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Well, not without love, it's not. Well, how could a person possibly have that kind of spiritual gifting and not be filled with the Holy Spirit? That's what this book is talking about. The Corinthians displayed all the gifts, but Paul says, you're not spiritual. You're carnal. You're fleshly. You're immature. Gifts can be hung on a tree that has been severed from the roots. We take a Christmas tree and we stick it in a little thing of water and it still looks green for weeks. But it's dead. It is dead. You can put gifts on it, all kinds of fancy, expensive, impressive things. They're not there for the tree. The tree's not going, oh, thank you. Oh, a watch. Oh, for me? Thank you. It's not for the tree. It's displayed on the tree, but it's a sign of love from the giver for the recipient. And the tree is not the recipient. It's just the place where the gift is displayed. The Corinthians displayed all kinds of gifts. But the fruit of the Spirit is the indication of the life within. And that's the way it is with chapter 13.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they'll come to an end. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. There are some sweet, well, not all of them are sweet, there are some Christians, some of whom are sweet, who believe that what this refers to is the fact that the so-called sign gifts or miraculous gifts no longer exist in the church today, and that anybody who manifests those gifts, it's either a fraud that's demonic, or they're just nuts. There are people who believe that, because it says here that when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. And so there's no longer prophecy, and there's no longer tongues, and there's no longer knowledge.
Well, let me clarify what that means. That's like supernatural knowledge, like word of knowledge.
Okay. Really? That's not what it says.
Well, you know, it's understood.
Okay, well, let's see if we can understand the rest of it. When the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. Now, every cessationist I know, and I know a bunch, I even have friends who are cessationists, they would say, when the perfect comes, refers to the completion of the canon. You see, we no longer have these supernatural sign gifts because now the Bible's complete, and with the completion of the Bible, we no longer need those kinds of supernatural manifestations. There's a very famous pastor in California who has written many commentaries, has his own study Bible, and he has made much of the fact that in the Greek, it says, when the perfect comes, and the word perfect there is not masculine, so it cannot be talking about the second coming of Christ. Really? Really? Yeah, that's what he says. So let's read as he instructs us to do in his teaching on how to understand the Bible. Let's read what the context of this passage is. When the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. Well, if he stopped right there, I'd say, maybe he's got a point. But God did not stop there. Keep reading. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then when the perfect comes, then we shall see what? Face to face. I want to ask you a question. Do we now see face to face? No. Well, we've got the Bible. Yeah, but that's not face to face. When are we going to see face to face? When Jesus comes. Read 1 John. Beloved, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he appears, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Context. Now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known. I want to ask you a question. Do you think that Christians, now that the canon is complete, know fully? Beloved people, let me tell you something. Right now we see as in a glass darkly. We don't yet see face to face. The canon is perfect. We're not. And our vision is not perfect. 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter says, there are a lot of things Paul's written that are hard to understand, and the foolish people twist them as they do the other scriptures to their own harm. You and I don't get all the details right. I know I don't. If I knew what I was wrong about, I'd change it. So we need to treat one another with a certain amount of humility. And we need to realize that we're going to get to heaven and find out, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your tremendous patience. And thank you, so-and-so, for being kind to me, despite the fact that you were right on that one and I was wrong. You and I are to love one another. And we're to love, again, not just in word or just with our feelings. You can't make yourself feel love for someone, but you can do love for someone. Love is about behavior and motive. Go back up to the start of the chapter. If I give away all my possessions and I give over my body to be burned, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. How could a person possibly give their body to the flames and give all their possessions to others and not do it out of love? Believe me, if you're trying to earn salvation by doing those things, that's not love. That is not love. If you're trying to impress others, that's not love. If you're doing it because you're just stubborn and determined to show that you have such courage you will not bow no matter what anybody does to you, that's not love. That's not love. Love is patient. Love is kind. We put Jesus' name in there and it fit well. I want you to silently take a moment and put your name in there and see if it's true. If you're not patient, and if you are easily angered, and if you are selfish, and you keep track of other people's wrongs, don't just pray for patience. Pray that God will cleanse you and fill you with His Holy Spirit, because what you need is love. If you are filled with Him, you will be filled with love, because God is love. And this is what it looks like. You don't just need more patience. You need more Jesus. You need for His Holy Spirit to live the life of Christ in the resurrection power of the Lord through you. You say, well, man, if that's the standard, I think I'm just going to give up. I would submit to you that maybe that's exactly what you need to do. You need to give up thinking that you're going to be able to do this in your own strength. Chuck Swindoll years ago said that there are three stages to the Christian life. Stage number one, wow, this is easy. Stage number two, wow, this is hard. Stage number three, wow, this is impossible. And he says, and then you're ready to start the Christian life. If you think you can do it in your strength, forget it. If you think you can just drum up love in yourself for your enemies and everybody else, forget it. But if you say, Lord, apart from you, I can do nothing. Come, cleanse me, fill me, live your life through me. I want your character displayed in me. I want to love as you have loved me. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7, we read this. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and His love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we remain in Him and He in us. He has given us of His Spirit, and we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent His Son as the world's Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in Him and He in God, and we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Dear people, understand this. When God is doing this and telling us this and setting this standard, He's not doing it to discourage us or to condemn us, but to cause us to realize that what He has ordained for us is nothing less than that we should be like Him. God says, I am in the process of changing my people from the inside out so that more and more and more they look like me. And what does God look like? Love. And where do we see it perfectly displayed? In Jesus. So rather than fighting over the gifts of the Spirit, let us love one another.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.